A scathing report from the Australian National Audit Office has found the Morrison government breached funding guidelines for a community health program. The $2 billion community health and hospitals program was set up before the 2019 federal election, and the review found the Federal Health Department deliberately breached Commonwealth grant rules and that almost half of the projects were in marginal electorates. Shadow Attorney General Michaelia Cash rejects claims the coalition used the program to pork barrel.
I would welcome the department's acceptance of, I understand it's the four recommendations following the review, and we would support any sensible actions taken by the department to strengthen those robust processes.
Well, joining me now on RN Drive is Independent Member for Indi, Helen Haynes. Helen, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Catherine, and good afternoon to your listeners.
What's your response to these findings?
Look, Catherine, I think that one of the opening lines from the ANAO was that this program fell short of ethical requirements. And really, surely the least we can ask of any government, particularly spending on hospitals and healthcare, is that they undertake that work ethically. So I think this is damning. I'm outraged when I read this report and actually shocked that any government could go that low in lead up to an election using money that needs to be targeted systematically, sensibly and fairly for our health.
The review found 171 projects were attached to the program, but only two were found to be highly suitable under the criteria, and almost half were based in marginal electorates. Michaelia Cash, who we just heard from moments ago, rejects the assertion that pork barrelling has taken place here. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. Not at all. I think that the report makes it abundantly clear that due process wasn't followed, that the guidelines under which this program was to be administered were breached. And indeed, the report tells us that the Solicitor General gave advice that this was in breach of the legislation, but this was done anyway. So I don't think in any clear thinking mind you could argue that a robust process was followed.
There's four recommendations in the report, Helen, including improving systems for reporting non-compliance with finance law, ensuring grants are being awarded according to guidelines, and establishing a quality assurance process. I mean, to me, they sound like things that really should be happening anyway, don't they?
I completely agree with you. When I read those recommendations, I thought exactly that. These are straightforward. This is exactly what, again, any sensible person would presume was happening. So we need to know what went wrong that allowed this to happen. And we need to have a systematic review. I'm pleased to see that the Health Minister, Mark Butler, is going to undertake such a review of the unspent money. But what concerns me is that In an environment where money is scarce and in resources that a government has under trust from the taxpayer, that it's possible, still possible, that something like this can happen. I'm deeply concerned by it, and I want to see processes in place that ensure that the current government can't do the same thing should they be inclined to do so.
So what might those processes look like? What else can be done, short of not knowing exactly why this happened, but what are the processes that you'd like to see put in place to stop this thing from happening again?
Well, as I said, I'm pleased that Minister Butler is undertaking some process of review on the unspent funds, but it's a start, but it's not a systemic answer. I don't know exactly what that answer is, but one part of it surely must be that we don't have to wait 3 years to find out that money has been spent in this way. So we need closer to real-time reporting, and we need to make sure that there are consequences when this happens. It's one of the reasons that I fought so hard in the previous parliament to establish a National Anti-Corruption Commission, and it's why I fought so hard that there is broad jurisdiction and that there's a definition that includes the capacity, should an independent commissioner wish to do so, to look into something like this. We need to do better. Our Australian public have low trust in government, and when they hear about programs such as this, which really have been in breach of their trust. We need to see something better, much better.
So is this something that could or should be referred to the National Anti-Corruption Commission?
Well, let's see what happens. The National Anti-Corruption Commission is completely independent of the Parliament. But as I said, in the considerable amount of work that I was engaged in establishing this, and indeed the government now of the day have established an National Anti-Corruption Commission. It opens its doors on the 1st of July. In questions I put to the Attorney General during the debate on this current legislation that's now law, there was much discussion there were assurances given that pork barrelling was within the remit. So let's see.
Yeah, Helen, you mentioned consequences before. You wanted to see consequences for such action. What might they look like?
Well, I think consequences are that we have the capacity through something such as a National Anti-Corruption Commission to investigate. A National Anti-Corruption Commission, again, fully independent. The Commissioner has the capacity, should the Commissioner wish, to do an own motion review, to maybe take a look at something like the use of taxpayer dollars for infrastructure spending during an election period. That would be a review, an investigation that a commissioner could undertake should they choose to do so.
If you've just tuned into the program, welcome. Thanks for your company. Independent member for Indi, Helen Haynes, joins me here on RN Drive. Helen, fellow independent MP Sophie Scomps has said these findings show why her Ending Jobs for Mates bill, which essentially does what it says, is important. Do you want the Albanese government to enact that bill? What sort of change could that affect if it was enacted?
Look, I think what Sophie Scomps is talking about is another piece in the whole program of reform and integrity. And she's quite right when she says that we need to have a solid process that's outside of doing favours for buddies or mates when it comes to appointments to statutory bodies or boards. So I really support Sophie's bill of ending jobs for mates. And I want to see fewer yes men out there. I want to see when a Solicitor General makes a recommendation that it's followed. I want to see people being independent and fully enabled to do the job that a taxpayer expects them to do.
If I could just go to another topic before I let you go. You recently spoke to Speaker Milton Dick to raise concerns about Labor MPs personally attacking Greens housing spokesperson Max Chandler-Mather in Parliament. And this is all because the Greens are blocking the government's $10 billion housing fund. What were you concerned about, and what has happened since you raised those concerns?
Yeah, well, I've been concerned about the conduct of us as parliamentarians since I became an MP in 2019. I was calling for a code of conduct in the parliament, as were other people. We finally got that code of conduct at the beginning of this year, and we all signed up to it. What I saw in the parliament on that particular day, and it's some time ago now, was what I thought was really in breach of that code of conduct. You know, the parliament is a robust place. It's contested space. We expect debate that gets heated at times, but it should always be about the issue and never about the person. And what I saw that day, I thought crossed a line. And Catherine, to be honest, I went to the speaker quietly, and what I thought was effectively confidentially to raise my concerns. And he was very, very keen to hear what I had to say, and I believe acted very effectively and swiftly. He said he would, and I believe he did, because I saw behaviour change when I came back to the chamber over the ensuing weeks. So my intervention was some time ago. I think we have a speaker who really does want to see an improvement in the standard of politics in our parliament. And I think we have a nation who wants to see that too. So again, for me, this is something I would call out if I saw it. It's the old saying, isn't it? The behaviour you walk past is the behaviour you condone. And that day, what I saw disturbed me, and I didn't want to draw attention to myself on this, quite the opposite actually, but I did bring it to the attention of the Speaker.
Independent member for Indi, Helen Haynes, thanks so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure, Catherine. Thank you for the conversation.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.